Last week, we kicked off the start of a new church year with the start of a new preaching series. Throughout the fall, we're exploring together what it means to be the church. Over the next 2 months, we're going to consider the practices and priorities that can help us live as faithful disciples, both here within these walls and out in the world. Now, last week, we kind of eased into things with a sermon that focused on the familiar parables of the lost sheep and the lost coin. But this week, we find ourselves grappling with a scripture reading that isn't quite so easy. Even the well-known Christian theologian Augustine is believed to have said this about today's text from the Gospel of Luke. He said, "I can't believe this story came from the lips of our Lord." The parable of the dishonest manager is really hard to understand. Scholars and theologians have already spent 2,000 years debating what it means. I don't think we're going to settle that debate today. But let's see if we can get to the heart of the matter and make some meaning of this perplexing parable. Let's start by hearing what Jesus had to say in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 16, verses 1 through 13. Then Jesus said to the disciples, "There was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was squandering his property. So he summoned him and said to him, 'What is this that I hear about you? Give me an accounting of your management, because you cannot be my manager any longer.' Then the manager said to himself, 'What will I do now that my master is taking the position away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do, so that when I am dismissed as manager, people may welcome me into their homes.' So, summoning his master's debtors one by one, he asked the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' He answered, 100 jugs of olive oil. He said to him, 'Take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 50. Then he asked another, 'And how much do you owe?' He replied, 100 containers of wheat. He said to him, 'Take your bill and make it 80. And his master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the children of this age are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of dishonest wealth, so that when it is gone, they may welcome you into the eternal homes. Whoever is faithful in a very little is faithful also in much. And whoever is dishonest in a very little is dishonest also in much. If then you have not been faithful with the dishonest wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches? And if you have not been faithful with what belongs to another, who will give you what is your own? No slave can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth." Here ends the reading. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God. And now our middle hymn is "Jesus Calls Us, or the Tumult." If you're here in the sanctuary, you will find it in your hymnals. It's number 399. And if you're worshiping from home, the words will drop into the comments so that you can sing along with us.
Thank you.
Please be seated. And please join with me in a spirit of prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So now that you've heard this parable of the dishonest manager, maybe you can see why scholars and theologians have been debating for centuries now about what Jesus was trying to teach in this perplexing parable. It's really hard to understand how this story came from the lips of our Lord. As we try to puzzle some meaning out of this parable, let's start by thinking about the context in which we find it. The parable of the dishonest manager comes right at the beginning of chapter 16 in the Gospel of Luke. Our modern chapter designations can trip us up a little bit here. We might think that a new chapter means a new setting. But when the Gospels were first written, there were no chapters, there were no verses. So we need to remind ourselves that the parable of the dishonest manager is not out there on its own. It's part of the same setting as the parables that came right before it in chapter 15, the parables of the lost coin and the lost sheep, which we heard last week, and then the parable of the lost son. All of these parables are told in the same setting. Jesus is preaching the good news to a large crowd that includes tax collectors and sinners. The scribes and the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the time, they are less than pleased that Jesus is sharing the good news with those kinds of people. Jesus responds to their grumbling by telling the parables of the lost sheep and the lost coin, reminding the crowd that God rejoices when those who are lost are found. He then goes on to tell the parable of the lost son, which we often know as the parable of the prodigal son. He describes how God is like the father who is lavish and generous with his love, always waiting to welcome his son back home, no matter how far he has wandered or how long he's been gone. Jesus uses these three parables of the lost to speak to those who are on the margins, those who are used to being excluded, those who are used to being told that they are not good enough to be loved by God. Jesus wants those sinners, he wants us to understand that our God is a God who rejoices in our returns, no matter how far we have wandered or how long we have been gone. Jesus wants those who are lost, he wants us to know there is nothing, nothing that can ever separate us from the love of God. But remember that the crowd around Jesus wasn't just made up of those who were on the margins. The tax collectors and the sinners were there, of course, but so were the Pharisees and the scribes, the religious authorities who were at the very center of Jewish life. Jesus was speaking to them too, and he was challenging them, because they were used to deciding who was in and who was out. They were used to deciding who was worthy of God's love, who had done enough to earn God's grace. The parables of the lost sheep and the lost coin and the lost son were challenging because Jesus was teaching that no one was out, not in the kingdom of God. Because in God's kingdom, everyone is worthy of God's grace. In God's kingdom, every single person is valued and loved. Then, Jesus goes on to tell a parable about a rich landowner with a dishonest manager who has squandered his property. And as you can hear, we do not have time today to go into all the details about the system of absentee land ownership that was common in Jesus' time. So I will just say this. The whole system was built for the rich to get richer while the poor got poorer. Under the Roman system of taxation, there were poor farmers who lived up north in Galilee, and when they couldn't afford to pay their taxes on their land, rich people who mainly lived down south in Judea, they would swoop in and buy the land, and they would let those poor farmers continue to work what had once been their own land, as long as the farmers gave them a percentage of their crops. And to make sure that the farmers kept up their end of the deal, the rich landowners would send middlemen. They didn't actually bother to go themselves. They sent managers to go and collect the crops, which they would then sell in order to get even richer. In this system, what mattered to the landowners was not the people who worked the land. It was the profits they could make off of those people. So, we have this context of how absentee land ownership worked, this system that valued profits over people. And we have this setting where the parable of the dishonest manager comes right after the parables of the lost, which reminds us of how much God values people. So maybe that can help us see why Jesus tells this parable about a manager who decides to do what he does. The manager gets fired by the landowner because he's accused of squandering the rich man's property, which is really a way of saying that he's not making enough of a profit for him. And all of a sudden, the manager realizes that the landowner could care less about him. The rich man does not care that the manager is going to be destitute if he loses his job. All he cares about is making as much money as he can. So the manager starts to wonder why he should care about someone who doesn't care about him. He decides instead to care about the people who are working the land. He makes deals that put people above profits. And just to make sure there is no question about what matters most to God, Jesus ends his parable by saying, "You cannot serve God and wealth." Notice that Jesus doesn't say money is inherently bad. Money on its own is not the problem. But we do have to ask ourselves what we're using our money for. And if we're choosing to value profits over people. These questions make us uncomfortable because they go against everything the world teaches us. We live in a world that values wealth, shames the poor, and creates the illusion that we will never have enough. We live in a culture that values profits over people. But we believe in a God who values people most of all. So this parable is a challenge. But maybe that is the point. It's not always easy to be a person of faith. It's not always easy to make faithful choices. It's not always easy to welcome the least and the lost and the lonely. It is not always easy to choose God over money and people over profits. It is not always easy to be church. That's why we need each other. That's why we need to be here together, because we can help each other make the most faithful choices we can, based not on what the world values, but on what matters most to God. Money is not at the heart of God's kingdom. Love is. And how we live out that love with every choice that we make, that is what matters most to God. Amen. Now, friends, our closing hymn is a prayer of sorts to invite God's vision to be our vision, for us to see the world the way that God sees it. So, "Be Thou My Vision" is found in the hymnal if you're here in the sanctuary, and if you're worshiping from home, the words will drop into the comments.